You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I'm Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight, and we are enjoying this beautiful Monday evening here in our state's capital, coming to you live from Madison tonight. Great to have you with me. Conrad is back in Green Bay, working the board and holding down the fort. What am I missing? Anything happening up there, Conrad?
Not really.
No?
Okay. Yeah, you're not missing much.
Whispering to everybody to keep it down while he talks to me on the stream. All right. This is exciting, folks. Listen, at the top of the second hour, act two, as I like to call it, I'm going to tell you all about Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And I'm going to give you a keyword. It's our new contest here at Civic Media. And I'll just tease you with it involves Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's all I'll say for now. More details coming in hour number two, as well as Jim Healy at 720 talking movies. Right now, I'm very excited to have this next guest on. He's been on the show before. Terry Barr, our mutual friend, introduced us. And that's how I first learned of the Mascot Theory's music. And I just love it. And their front man. And you're just a friend of the show at this point, Eric, I think. Eric Jellin joins me here in the studio. But I have to say, before I dig into this conversation with Eric, it is time. Eric is our first guest, Conrad. Did you know that?
He is.
First guest of the week. So it's time to light it up right with the Nightlight First Guest of the Week, brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event, music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com. Do you think he can Photoshop out excess pounds, Conrad?
I think he could.
Conrad has no idea. He's just trying to make me feel better.
No, I think he can do it.
Of course he can, right? But that might cost extra. That's all I'm saying. So, check out chickenortheeggphotography.com. Chris does great stuff. Eric Jellin is here. It is great to have you here. You were here last November.
Yeah.
And that seems like forever ago, but also not really. I mean, I remember you talking about, you brought in a great vinyl album of your last album, and now I'm going to show this on the stream. Conrad, check this out. Eric brought in a copy of their new album, The Cosmic Hit and Run, and it's great. We're going to play some music from the album tonight during the interview. Eric is here in the studio. Thank you again for another awesome piece of
my pleasure. Yeah. My pleasure.
Is that how you like to listen to music?
I liked producing it that way. This album was very specific to the vinyl format with side A, side B. It was kind of the first time we had created an album, and we're like, okay, we have X amount of time on the one side and this technically 18 minutes on one side, 18 on the next before it starts to degrade a little bit. So we really put a lot into that, thinking of it that way. It's on CD as well, but really that was we have this much to get done and we know someone's going to flip that record at some point. So it was made for it for sure.
I never even would have thought of that. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So how was Max Inc. the other night? You were on with Terry and Rocker.
I was right here. Right here. We had the band here. We had our full drum kit out there. It was a blast. Yeah, we had it rocking in here.
Do you do that often on the radio, perform live? I mean, you've
not
performed
with the full band.
Show.
Yeah, yeah. It's an ordeal with the full band. We have to bring our mixer and kind of get a whole bunch. We had in-ear monitors on our own. And so I was over there. And then when it was time to do the interview, pop over here really quick and try not to get tangled in my cords. But it's always fun. It's a blast.
So, all right, before we jump into your new album, Cosmic Hit and Run, you would have been on this show again since last November if you didn't have some health issues.
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of trauma, drama, whatever you want to say, however you would categorize it, over the last year. Tell us what happened.
Well, really not too long after I was here, so it would have been around that mid-November, I was having these headaches, these really bad headaches and kind of facial pain and other neuro pain, vision loss, lots of stuff like that. That was super scary. And we thought, well, maybe it's just, I'm a graphic designer and videographer. So I work on screens all the time. So we thought maybe it was just, okay, let's go to the eye doctor. Maybe, maybe there's something with that. You're staring at screens. And so we went and I got some glasses. They did not help with the headaches or anything. They just got worse and worse through December. And we just decided at some point we should get an MRI done just to check. I was having these blurry visions and dizzy things. And they're like, let's just make sure there's no like pre-stroke or stroke stuff going on here. So right around that time in December, we started doing that. We did an MRI in January and then another follow-up one with contrast. And they found this arterial, what did I say?
You the call name. It, it's AVF, AVF, arterial venous fistula.
There it is. I always get that mixed up. It okay. is, it is. So they found that it's right in the smack dab in the middle of my forehead and the brain right there. And so it's like this artery and this vein that are kind of connected. And that should never happen because there's pressurized blood and non-pressurized blood, and the pressurized goes to the non part, and it can blow up with an aneurysm, and that's it.
So, is that one of those things where they caught it just in time, or it was like a ticking clock, like something could have happened at any?
Exactly. They thought maybe, you know, 8 to 10 years it probably had been there or been developing throughout that time. So the headaches and stuff, we still don't know if that was all officially from that. You know, we got the MRIs, they discovered this thing. 4 months later, I had to wait and then eventually got the procedure, and they went and put some cement in to kind of block it off after 4.5 hours of procedure. And we just went in a few weeks ago and double checked with another MRI. The fix worked. Everything's good. So that possibility of an aneurysm is not going to happen anymore. So that's fixed. Just still dealing with a lot of those same symptoms, the headaches and stuff. And we're just trying to figure that stuff out now. But yeah.
I remember when you posted this on social media. I don't think I knew that you were going into surgery. I think I just saw that you posted something after you had been out. There's probably been 10 social media posts since I've been on it that made me go, whoa, like you just didn't have any idea. So yeah. I'm glad that worked out. But when you play, what does that do? Like you play music in bars sometimes or outdoors. Does that affect your headaches or anything?
Well, it certainly was at the end of the year. You know, Flannel Fest was probably what we were here promoting. And that was around that time. And it was like fine at that show. But really after that, it really, the headaches just started getting worse. So I didn't really play again. I think I did one show in December and was miserable. Didn't know why, just it was headaches, but it's not just like your typical headaches. It's like eye pain. It's just really bizarre facial pressure type stuff. And so I had a couple shows around that time that were not great. And it was like, oh, but typically in the wintertime, we don't play much. And actually our whole plan with the Mascot Theory was to record an album. So we weren't going to be playing. We were going to work on this album, which we did start doing. And then this all kind of got diagnosed, and we still were able to kind of work on the album. I kind of just worked on it when I could, kind of in my home studio with bring the guys over. I'd be working on my laptop and just kind of working on stuff when I wasn't my head buried under a pillow from all this pain and stuff. So
that's incredible that you went through that issue, had surgery, and in that time since you've been recovering, you still have, I mean, every sign of life is what we were discussing last November.
Yeah.
You already have a new album out despite what you went through. That's kind of a fast turnaround, isn't it?
Well, that Every Sign of Life actually came out, I think, in April last year. But that album actually had been recorded 2 years before.
Okay.
We went down to Texas. We recorded it. We kind of shopped it around, seeing if there's any record labels, what the industry was looking like at that time. And we decided to release it on our own. So it had been around for a while in our world, not out in the world to everybody else. So when we had that one done, we still had a ton of songs that were ready for a next album already. So it was just kind of waiting for the right moment. But then kind of at the end of last year, we were starting to think about, well, what do you want to do for this next album? We knew we were going to kind of do a hiatus anyway. And we thought, well, let's tackle something a little bit different. We'll set even those other songs aside for now. I had a song actually, Final Hour, that I think is on the list for potential for playing tonight. That was all dealing with my dad's passing back in 2020. And he had 2 years of being in the hospital. Of he had a blood infection that led to from a kidney stone that led to, I think, his pancreas getting destroyed, and then it was just two years of misery for him. And then, you know, a pandemic and all of that. So trying to help him with the care and but also limited to who could go in and when
into
the hospitals. It was a real tough time. And so I had all these lyrics that I'd kind of came up with. Specifically, Final Hour was kind of one of those main ones. And then eventually it was like, okay, let's try something different from a recording aspect. Let's just go ahead and do a concept album. You know, we were inspired by Pink Floyd and some of those older, the Who, you know, the bands that did those concept albums where it's all thematically and musically tied together.
Yeah.
So that was our plan for this, even before the headache stuff. That was what we were going to do. And we were able to kind of start doing that. And it just sort of worked because we were doing it in our own studios. We could kind of keep moving forward with it when I felt good. And it actually really helped me because I couldn't do anything. They were like very specific, don't do anything, you know, until this procedure happens. So nothing tragic happens.
Oh, that's incredible. Eric Jelen is my guest. He is the frontman for The Mascot Theory, a great band. Check them out, Google them, Spotify, whatever. But right now we're going to play one of their new tracks. What should we lead with?
Got a Grip is the one that we've been playing most so far. So that one.
Con, let's fire up Got a Grip. This is The Mascot Theory and Eric Jelen.
The family dinner table, separate the truth from fable. My brain is drowning loud and free. Pass that salty ocean to me. Across the family dinner table, separate the truth from fable. I'm barely hanging on, though I've still got a grip. It might take all night, but I'll get over this. I'm barely hanging on, though I've still got a grip. It might take all night, but I'll get over this. Cross my heart and hope to fly into a sunset painted sky. Passing ships and star-crossed lovers, your eyes from under covers. Cross my heart and hope to fly into a sunset painted sky. Passing ships and star-crossed lovers, peek your eyes from under covers. I'm barely hanging on, though I've still got a grip. And it might take all night, but I'll this. I'm barely hanging on, though I've still got a grip. You stare at the wall, you're tearing your hair out. I dare you to carry it all. The baggage you buried, it's there when you're raring to fall. Cause they don't care if you disparage to perish or stall. The tank is empty, start to rush to the end. And it's tempting to break all the rules when Lady Justice is bending. So save me from all the lies and the maybes. Cause maybe if we told the truth, then all our lies would be gravy. I'm going crazy, but I'm sane enough to know that you made me. The game is changing, and I'm praying I'll continue to play it, but lately I'm just losing faith, and every day it keeps fading. The pain is racing past the blame, or let the rain hit the pavement. Another payment, you can't pay it, so you're trying to fake it. I bet you need a vacation, cause you're running and racing. Now get a grip and be patient, don't slip when you're pacing. Take another deep breath, face the heat and embrace it. Face the heat and embrace it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network, folks. We got a shout out for our guest, Eric Jelen from Terry Bar.
Hey, Terry.
Yay, Eric. Which is so cool because Terry introduced us to Eric, and Eric was on Max Inc. Radio with his band, Mascot Theory, Saturday night. So we just heard Get a Grip, Got a Grip.
Yep.
You have a little rap in there, yeah. Kind of. You're a little bending some genres here. I love when people do that.
Yeah, we just, you know, we're doing this. We decided to do this album completely on our own with no constraints. We'll just do whatever we felt like fit the mood. And a friend of mine, Tyler Durden, the rapper on there, had actually heard a demo of that song probably a year before. And he had actually really loved the demo, and then he wrote a whole verse for it and then sent it to me, and I totally forgot about it. And a year later, we pop it down on the album, and I was sharing with him kind of where we were at with the song. He's like, I wrote a verse for that. And I'm like, oh no, I forgot about that. And I'm like, well, I don't know. We've got, like I said, we got these things timed down. So yeah. Anything that goes in, something else is coming out. But, you know, if you want to send it to me, we'll see. And we started working on it, and it's like, oh, this is amazing. This is going to fit perfectly with the theme of the album and everything, and dealing with grief and loss and then kind of the cosmic picture after what happens next. So it just fit perfect. So, yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. Yeah. You had this serious brain surgery, and your dad passed away. Without sounding crass or whatever, does that make it easier to write material when you're going through such crap in your life? Was it easier to write this as opposed to like Every Sign of Life?
I would say, well, we'll see what happens with the brain stuff. I haven't written anything after that. Okay. All of these songs were written through the lens of my father, took me, you know, years to finally. Final Hour song was written years ago. So that one was kind of the first one. And then this year when we decided to do this kind of an album, I had some other ones that were dealing with the same kind of theme. So I think it was once we decided, okay, this is the theme of the album, I'm going to write it specifically about this topic, then actually it did just kind of flow out. A lot of the songs were written towards the end of the year last year, or kind of right before we were about ready to start recording. That's kind of how it goes. Sometimes we have some older songs, and sometimes we have just brand new stuff I bring to the band, and they're not really ready for it. And it's a blast. So we kind of just do it that way. And that's exactly how it happened for this one. And with the brain stuff, it'll be interesting. I think on one of my posts, I was like, I'm sure I'll deal with that at some point on the next album, you know?
Right. It's interesting. Eric Jelen is my guest, from the Mascot Theory. We just heard his song, Got a Grip. The new album drops October 3rd?
Yeah.
Okay, so where can people find that? Spotify, the usual outlets?
All the streamers. We'll have it on our website, themascottheory.com. There'll be a link to our store, our Bandcamp store, so you can order it right from there. We'll send you a CD or vinyl versions and digital streaming, all that stuff.
And when can people see you? It's October 5th. You have a release party at the Atwood Music Hall here in Madison.
Correct.
And then you mentioned one in Appleton as well.
October 3rd, the actual release day. We're going to be at Gibson Music Hall in Appleton. So it's going to be a blast. And they're very different kind of shows that we would typically do. We're kind of a folk rock band. With this album, we really felt like we wanted it to be the focus of everything that we're performing. So it's actually a very intimate kind of sit down. We're going to do an interview. Terry Barr is actually going to be at the Madison one and going to do an interview on stage. We'll talk about the album and the process a little bit. And then we've got our friends Into the Music podcast up in Appleton. We'll do the same thing.
On your website, you have a passage that says, where you describe this album, peering, jittery energy with a little self-interrogation. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think it's especially with this theme. I mean, when you're trying to tie in all the songs, or all the songs are all in the same ideas, you really have to look into, okay, what was I feeling during all of this, when my dad was passing away? How was that really affecting me at the time? How do I reflect on that now?
Yeah.
And so you really got to dig deep on that. What is that? And then kind of the side B of the album is really more of the, okay, after death, what happens now? How do we grieve from that lens now when it's the healing part, right? So it's like, what does that look from a cosmic standpoint? Where do we go after we pass away? All those kind of big ideas is kind of the second half of the album, and that's kind of what we were shooting for on this one.
So why don't we do this, just to get as much bang for our buck as possible? Why don't we play a song into the break at the top of the hour, then we'll get the third song played in the first segment after the news. So what should we go to during the break?
Let's do Constellation Prize.
All right, Con, get that ready. Eric Jelen is here. He is my guest in studio, coming to you live from Madison tonight. When we come back, folks, Eric's song will take us to intermission. We'll be back for Act Two, and I'm going to tell you all about Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, and I'm going to give you the keyword. Great stuff. You can win cash and jewelry and two amazing tickets to Green Bay and Minnesota. I guess I just kind of told them about it, but I'll elaborate a little bit after.
I bet they could guess.
Here's Eric Jellin and Mascot Theory.
My eyes to see again, it's clear, so clear, all covered up in my feelings, but I was not alone in grieving, it's clear, so clear, aren't we the lucky ones, hang on until we've won, the
It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
How do you like those options? You'll either like it or you won't. Welcome back to Nightlight. This is exciting, folks. I'm very thrilled to welcome my next guest here to make the Popcorn Pick of the Week. When it comes to appearing on Jeopardy and also being a professor at Lawrence University, this guy is top-notch and an absolute rock star, Mr. Ben Chan. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pete. It's always nice to be here. I think I was banging on the window about a year ago, and I was like, oh, wait.
Were you doing a bar crawl or something?
Yeah. You're in here and just like, God, I'm on the air right now, dude.
That's right. I forgot about that. So you, well, we'll talk about the Jeopardy stuff. We'll talk about your new position at Lawrence. That's exciting. But how are you in general? How are you doing in this thing called life? Things good?
Yeah, things are really good. It's a transition. It's been kind of a transition. After my last Jeopardy appearance, I'm kind of out of the immediate central Jeopardy pool.
Okay.
And also my job was transitioning at the same time this past, 6 months. Life is all about transitions.
Absolutely.
I think, right?
I'm not even smart enough to know what the central pool of Jeopardy is. So we'll talk about that too.
It's too complicated.
After really. We do the popcorn pick. So let's jump in. Let's talk movies. Ben Chan, you're obviously an incredibly bright guy. Jeopardy or not, you're a college professor. You're well schooled. You've impressed us on a national level on a game show. What kind of movies do you like?
I like a lot of movies. I think Roger Ebert had a really good attitude about this, right? That he would review movies on their own terms, right?
So, yeah.
There are a lot of genres that he probably wasn't a fan of, but if he would try to judge whether the director accomplished what they were trying to accomplish, right?
Interesting, yeah.
And so I think I'm the same way. There are genres I enjoy more, genres I enjoy less, but I like to have a wide exposure to things.
Okay.
But the things I really love, there are movies that can really change your perspective, right? And in ways that not many art forms can do. Of the popular recent movies, I think Parasite was like that. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Parasites. I think Parasite's given like a framework for millions, like changed people's framework of thinking about power and income, right? And it's a very powerful kind of metaphor and very powerful narrative structure that has like global implications in terms of how people cope with life.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And it, you know, did well at the Oscars too. Right. I mean, it was very well recognized. That's a great answer. And I expect nothing less than a well thought out answer from someone like you, Ben. So do you prefer to go? So basically you don't stick to typically one genre. You like, and I'm the same way. I'm not really a horror guy. That doesn't mean I don't really enjoy an occasional really well done horror movie at times, if that makes sense.
Yeah. My wife is really into horror and she's gotten me into it, which I'm glad for, because I think I wouldn't, there's so many choices, right? So it's hard to take that step on your own if it's something you don't, aren't drawn to naturally. So, but it's opened my eyes to things, right? Because it, you know, horror, I think, you know, is deeply kind of Freudian generally, right? And kind of is a working out of our, you know, personal or cultural deep fears in a way that often we don't get to raise in a polite conversation.
Right. Do you have, did you see Weapons?
Oh yeah, I did see Weapons. I think that's the last thing I saw in the theater.
Yeah. That same here. I enjoyed it. Again, not a horror guy, but really solid movie. I really liked it. All right. So how do you like to watch movies, Ben? Are you a theater goer? Do you like the comfort of your own home?
I would prefer the theater, but you know, probably the ratio is 9 to 1 home to theater.
Yeah.
And I think I went to grad school at UCLA in Los Angeles. And sometimes people ask me like, oh, do you miss things about Los Angeles? And there are a couple of things I miss, but the number one thing that comes to mind is that they still have a lot of beautiful single screen theaters.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, nice restored prints. And because it's a film town, you'll go to like a Saturday revival of Meet Me in St. Louis and the theater will be full at 10 a.m. And you might be sitting next to like Jason Segel and, you know, a bunch of film editors. And they're super, you know, they're great audiences. They're super appreciative. And then sometimes you might get, you know, somebody who did the casting for a 1960 show be in the audience and do Q&A after.
Right.
That's really,
I'm totally with you. One of my best experiences, or when my wife and kids would leaving back to the Midwest and I was out there alone, I would take full advantage in terms of going to movies. Like, and I remember specifically, I saw Mission Impossible 3, I think it was 9 a.m. at a Hollywood theater. I get coffee. I saw Collateral in the morning. I saw South Park with my buddy, Mike Siegel. Yeah, you can see anything almost any time of day. And that is something I do
in
miss
a full
about
theater
LA.
Too, right?
In the full theater, right? Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's nice to watch with other people.
Absolutely. All right. So what is your favorite snack? Let's say you're in the theater. What kind of snacks do you go for?
Ooh, I like everything, you know. Usually money is the impediment. It's like these prices.
Oh, it's insane.
But that's a good question. I mean, I guess the first thing that pops to mind is, you know, pretzel bites. Pretzel bites with some nacho cheese.
With some cheese. Oh, man. I wish I didn't like that.
Right?
It's so bad. And nachos, too. Like, that cheese is what it is. If they would just, sprinkle shredded cheese on there and heat it up, it'd be different. Good, right? But I don't know what the hell I'm eating when I'm eating nacho cheese. But it
I could no, I wish that if they had more, you know, I'm a big caramel corn fan, right?
So
I'm kind of surprised that more theaters don't have that. Actually, that's one of the things the Arclight Theater in L.A. was famous for. They had, like, fresh-made caramel corn.
I love that you know these L.A. theaters. Yeah, that's where I saw Collateral, at the Arclight. I don't think it's open anymore. Or was it the Cinerama Dome?
I think Cinerama.
Yeah. Well, that's a great... all right, so you're not fussy when it comes to snacks. What about at home? Do you watch it? Do you make different snacks when you're at home?
We used to make popcorn. One of the things, if any listeners have tips on... dealing with dogs, two dogs in the house who are resource guarding and getting into arguments about that. So we can't have snacks on the couch anymore because they might have a disagreement about who gets to be closer to human snacks. But at home, that's been one of the things I talked about. I've been attending to a lot of deferred maintenance. Some of it is home projects. Some of it is my body. I think I put on 20 pounds. During my Jeopardy life. And so I've been trying to avoid the movie snacks at home, at least.
Oh, God, don't do it other ways, Ben. have a movie snack. But if you do figure it out, let me know. I could drop a few pounds as well.
So I'd say the go-to snack right now, if you go to one of the Asian markets in town, they have these things called jackfruit chips. Jackfruit's a tropical fruit, and it's like a pretty healthy thing. But it's delicious. It's like a sweet tropical fruit. And there are only like three ingredients, jackfruit,
salt. I didn't know they came
salt.
In chip variety.
Yeah,
that's great. Interesting.
Yeah, you should check, look for jackfruit chips.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay. What about, all right, let's talk about this. I know you like to enjoy a cocktail every once in a while. What do you have? Have you ever snuck booze into a theater or what do you make when you're at home?
Ooh, I probably have snuck booze into a theater when I was younger. It's been a big development that now Marcus Theaters sells booze, which is nice. So I can, and it's actually, that's the most reasonably priced item at the concession stand.
Is booze.
Yeah.
It's like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. It's under $10 for like a, you know, a tall boy or whatnot.
So if you want a box of Goobers, it's $12. Yeah, if you exactly. want a drink, it's $9. Yeah, that's pretty, okay.
I'd like to, Greg Marcus seems cool. I want to meet Greg Marcus. That's on my bucket
don't
list.
Don't you run in those circles now? He's a celebrity.
I got to put it out there.
Come on. Yeah. Let's use this as a platform. Conrad, take a memo. We got to get Ben in touch with Greg Marcus.
Doesn't he seem like a real nice guy?
Seems like a swell guy. Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen his Instagram. He's doing Instagrams with, you know, his employees. And it seems not forced.
Seems genuine. Yeah all right. All right. So, what about at home? What do you make? Do you have a favorite cocktail or something?
It kind of changes. I think, the first thing that pops to mind, a martini, classic gin martini.
You go gin, not the vodka, huh?
Yeah. I like that. A lot of people I know don't like the juniper in the gin.
Vermouth okay.
But I like it.
Yeah,
I like both things, the vermouth and the gin.
You're saying that defensively, and I don't mean to make you defensive about your cocktail of choice. Ben Chan is here, folks. He is a Jeopardy champ and also a professor at Lawrence University. He's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Norm Kopesky is coming by at 7:35 for some cigar talk and a talk about a really cool contest they're having at Appleton Cigar this weekend. And stick around because after the news in hour number two, I'm going to give you the keyword for our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Our multi-state Text to Win contest keyword coming up after the news in hour number two. But for now, we are inching eerily close to Jeopardy champ Ben Chan's popcorn pick of the week. So, how do you feel about previews when you're in the theater? You like them?
Oh,
this is such a divider.
No, they're just. I guess I could go. There are two. The main complaint is many of the previews are bad now.
Yeah,
like trailers are. They give away too much.
I totally agree.
Like the art of the... And
that's an art too. Cutting a good trailer without giving too much away. It's an art form. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the trailers, there's some good trailers, but most of the trailers are just trash. Yeah. Right. Who's making... It's very surprising that trailers are so bad.
All right. One more question for you, Ben. People are being loud nearby. You and your wife are there trying to enjoy yourselves. What do you do? Do you confront them? Do you shush them? Do you give them the stare? Do you get security? What's the deal?
We probably go at times where it's not that busy anymore. We typically go like Saturday afternoons. And so maybe the main thing would be the only loud people we run into are, you know, 7-year-olds.
What kind of movies you go? Does your wife ever get out of line? Do you ever have to shush your wife in a movie?
No. I mean, I think that the main tension is at home, right? Where... sometimes we'll be watching a movie and then she'll look at her phone and be like, I thought we were watching a movie together.
Oh, that drives me bananas.
And then I, you know.
But the worst thing is when someone looks at their phone, my kids used to do this. Wait, what did he say? I'm not telling you. Sorry, put the phone down.
She doesn't do that.
All right, that's good. All right, Conrad, I think we are ready for Mr. Ben Chan's popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, if you please. All right, Ben, the kidding around is pretty much over. What is the popcorn pick of the week?
It's tough. Can I give two?
Yeah.
All right. So there are two. They're streaming. They're both classic movies. Oh, they can be streaming, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Any movie. There are no rules.
So one that came to mind recently, actually, this is something I saw. It's an old movie, The Red Shoes. I think it's 1948.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that.
It's a ballet. Oh, Red Shoes. Yeah. That's one of the great, I don't know, it's 50 movies of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. I mean, the reason it came back to my attention, Ken Jennings, it was one of his five picks. But it's one of my favorite movies. I saw it a few times, but one time I saw it at a special screening at the Smithsonian in DC. And the editor, who was married to one of Powell and Pressburger, I forget which one, and I forget her name, she's Martin Scorsese's editor. So she's won a couple of Oscars, but she was in attendance. She gave a little talk before the screening, and she said, Powell and Pressburger, they're coming out of World War II, and they'd been told that there's so many things worth dying for, democracy, Great Britain, whatever.
Wow.
And they wanted to make a film that showed that art was worth dying for.
That is so cool.
So yeah, The Red Shoes, I think it's on HBO Max.
The Red Shoes on HBO Max.
Maybe I'll stick with that one.
And it's got a 98%. So we're going to do a really quick break. Then we're going to come back and get pick number two. You're getting two picks. Didn't this happen a couple weeks ago? Somebody gave two picks. That's even better. You get more referrals.
Definitely.
So, okay. Ben Chan is here, folks. Jeopardy champ. We are coming right back to get his second popcorn pick of the week. We'll talk about Jeopardy. We'll talk about one-hit wonders or, sad songs, right?
We'll do sad songs. I have a pick for that, yeah.
All right, sweet. It's Peach Bob and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a gospel kind of feeling. A touch of Georgia
slide. A song of pure revival. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this beautiful Thursday night. Here we're coming to you live from downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide on a popcorn pick Thursday night. Folks, in just a few minutes after the news at the top of the hour, we're going to dig into the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, our multi-state Text to Win contest here at Civic Media. Great prizes. I'm going to give you more details after the news, and then I'll give you the keyword as well. So make sure you don't go anywhere. Right now, my guest in studio here is celebrity champ Ben Chan. And I'm not just saying celebrity champ. Aren't you like the third highest grossing person ever on Jeopardy or something like that?
No. In the regular, when I left, I was the 16th highest in the regular season. But that's pretty good.
It's really good because Conrad went on that show about 10 years ago. And how'd you do, buddy?
Yeah, I was 16.
16th from the bottom, right above me. All right, Ben is here. He just made the popcorn pick of the week. He's got two of them. We heard his first choice was the Red Shoes from 1948. I'm putting that one on my list. And then you had another one. Ben, tell us what your other popcorn pick of the week is.
This has shaped... I'm a big foodie, actually, despite maybe... That's my number one passion.
You're a medium-sized foodie. I wouldn't call yourself you're ripping on your health earlier. I don't think that was warranted.
So one of these movies that really kind of shaped my culinary sensibility, I think it's the best food movie. There are a lot of good food movies, but it's a Japanese movie. It's also on HBO Max. It's called Tampopo, T-A-M-P-O-P-O. It's from the 80s. The genre is a Western. It's a ramen Western. So it has like the trappings of a Western.
As opposed to a spaghetti.
Yeah. So it's quite funny.
Oh, wow.
And the main, it's kind of Altman-esque in that it has many different interlocking threads and vignettes. But the main plot line is a young mother, single mother, who's trying to open a ramen shop. And her son is being bullied. She's not very good at making ramen. And then a trucker happens to roll into town.
Wow.
Who's a ramen expert and helps both her and her son get you know, her son at school and her with the ramen shop.
I know some stuff about movies, but mostly I'm just a fan. And you just named two films that I have not seen that I can add to my list. I appreciate that.
So you're welcome.
Great choices, Ben Chan. His choices are Red Shoes and Tampopo.
I guess it means dandelion in Japanese.
Tampa police officers. Tampopo. Okay.
Tampopo. Yeah.
Ben, is great to have you here. Let's talk. So what is the latest? I know you made a return appearance on Jeopardy. For those that don't know, a couple years ago, Ben had like an incredible run. And here's what I love about your Jeopardy run. It was packed with drama. Because you went, I was reading about this, you went up, then you lost big, then you came back and cleaned house. So you had that drama.
Oh, right.
Then you forgot about your Jeopardy greatness. And then you couldn't play because of COVID, and you had to get back in the game and you went on a run again. It's like you've had a really cool run.
Yeah, it was very eventful. Yeah, it's more eventful than most runs on Jeopardy.
So, all right. So, well, yeah, obviously, if you're like 16, that's incredible. So what do you have a favorite memory coming out of that whole experience? You've had time to reflect on it now.
There's so many. Actually, it's filled with good memories. I think, you know, it's hard to beat the first win.
Yeah, I bet.
Right? Because that opens up everything. I think that's I don't know if it's, that was my biggest fear because I knew I was pretty well prepared. I knew I could, you know, make some noise, but that it's hard to get the first one because you're playing against somebody who's already played. They're probably pretty good.
Interesting.
In the subsequent games, you have an advantage because you're not playing against somebody who's played before. And they're also random.
Right? Yeah.
Whereas in your first game, you're guaranteed to play a non-random person, namely somebody who's won.
Right. Wow. That's interesting. And then I would imagine your first time too is when your nerves are at peak, or is it when you get close to setting some kind of milestone? Like, how did you deal with that?
Definitely the first time. And then after that, you know, the thing about it, it's like, you know, if you've been in show business or whatever, it's a well-oiled machine, right? So it's like, yeah, I've got 10 minutes till the next show. And so it's, you don't have time to think about what's happening.
You have to have, and I'm just saying this, I'm guesstimating, but, or making a presumption, but you have to, A, be really smart, but B, be able to answer these questions quickly on the spot on national TV. So for people that can do that, you maybe played people that were smarter than you, but they couldn't handle the pressure of thinking quickly on TV, maybe?
Yeah, I had the advantage of, I played fake practice games with people, so you get into that rhythm. You know, I think, you know, good people, it's hard to do that if you're not in the groove, right? It's like, you know, ring rust or whatever, right? Like, you have to be in that mindset and have that right threshold for guessing or buzzing in when you're not sure you know it, because you are confident enough that it'll come in time. And then if you're not in that groove, you're going to be either too hesitant or too aggressive.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.